I want to, here a couple, 3 years ago, or maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I preached some, and I will continue to do so, on the names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think you need to be careful what you call Jesus. There are approximately 280 names or titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. One of the reasons I say be careful is because you got people out here using words like Yeshua and all this kind of stuff. That's not in your Bible. And to say that, what you're saying is the Bible's mistaken. This authorized Bible calls God by the name that He is. And if you say that Jesus ought to be Yeshua or something like that, what you're saying is there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mistakes in the Bible. And there's not hundreds of mistakes in the Bible. God wanted Jesus, a name called Jesus, amen? And so use Bible terminology and don't get caught up in all this junk that everybody's hooping and hollering about here, there, and yonder. But the Bible gives lots of names for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them is He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. His name is, He's called the last Adam in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. He's called the Anointed One in Psalms chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10. He is referred to as Aaron, our high priest, in Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus is called our altar in Hebrews chapter 13. He is referred to as our ark in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20. He is referred to as the Amen in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. He is called the author of our eternal salvation in Hebrews chapter 5. He is called the author and the finisher of our faith. And by the way, brother, if he don't finish it, it won't get finished. In Hebrews chapter 12. He is called the apple tree in Song of Solomon chapter 2. And there's where we find rest and fruit for our lives. He is called altogether lovely in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16. In any way you look at him, he is lovely. In Colossians chapter 3, he is called our all and in all. In Hebrews chapter 6, he is called our anchor. In 1 John chapter 2, he is called our advocate. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, he is called the Almighty. In Daniel chapter 7, he is called the Ancient of Days. In the Old Testament, he is called often, and his appearance is the Angel of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3, he is called the Apostle of our profession. In Isaiah chapter 53, he is called the Arm of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, he is called the Babe. In 1 Timothy, he's called the blessed and only potentate. In Revelation 22, he's called the bright and morning star. He's called in Micah chapter 2, the breaker. And he broke through sin, death, hell, and the grave all the way to glory. In Revelation 3:14, he's called the beginning of the creation of God. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is the beginning of anything that exists or that was created. In Revelation 21, verse number 6, he's called the beginning and the end. In Hebrews chapter 1, he's the brightness of the Father's glory. In Hebrews chapter 2, he's called our brother. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 15, he's called the bridegroom. And he's the one who loved us and paid the dowry and he's coming back to get us for the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Song of Solomon chapter 2, he's called the beloved. In John chapter 3, he's called the brazen serpent that's been lifted up for us. In Isaiah chapter 4 and Zechariah chapter 3, he's called the branch or the center of the candlestick. In John chapter 6, he's the bread of life. In Hebrews chapter 1, he's the creator. In Acts chapter 4, he's the child. In the Gospels, he's called the carpenter, and he's rebuilding broken lives. John chapter 7, he's the Christ. In Isaiah 55, he's the commander. In Joshua chapter 5, he's the captain of the Lord's host. In the Song of Solomon chapter 5, he's the chiefest among 10,000. In Isaiah chapter 4, he's the covert from the tempest. In Numbers 35, he's the city of our refuge. Proverbs chapter 3, he is our confidence. In Luke chapter 23, he's chosen of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, he's called of God. In Hebrews chapter 7, he is consecrated forevermore of God. He is our covenant in Isaiah chapter 42. He is our cornerstone in Ephesians chapter 2. He is our crown of glory in Isaiah chapter 28. Christ is our counselor in Isaiah chapter 9. He is our comfort in Isaiah 61. He is the consolation of Israel in Luke chapter 2. He is God's dear son in Colossians chapter 1. He is our delight in Proverbs chapter 8. He is the dew of heaven in Hosea chapter 14. He's the desire of nations from the millennial. He is the day spring of Luke chapter 1. He is the day star of 2 Peter chapter 1 to cheer our hearts. In Job chapter 9, he's the daysman that reconciled the intermediate for us. And in John chapter 10, he is the door. By him, if any man are in, he shall be saved. In Psalms chapter 94, he is our defense. In Psalms chapter 90, he is our dwelling place. In Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected. In Romans chapter 11, he's the deliverer. In Isaiah, he's the ensign, our flag. In Philippians chapter 2, he is equal with God. In Hebrews chapter 1, he is the express image of God. In Isaiah chapter 9, he's the everlasting Father. And not only that, but in Isaiah 42, he's the elect of God. In Isaiah chapter 22, he's the Elohim, or the key to heaven. In Romans chapter 10, he is the end of the law for those who believe on him for righteousness. In John chapter 13, he is our example. In 1 John chapter 5, he is our eternal life. And in Genesis 15, he is our exceeding great reward of God. In Proverbs chapter 18, he is our friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Romans chapter 8, he is the firstborn among many brethren. In Hebrews chapter 1, in Revelation chapter 1, he's the first begotten of the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he is the first fruits of them that slept. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he is the first faithful witness. In Hebrews chapter 6, he is the forerunner into the heavenly places. He is fairer than the children of men in Psalms 45. He is the former of all things in Jeremiah 51. He is the first and the last. And the Bible said he's the fruit of the earth in Isaiah chapter 4. Revelation 19 says he is faithful and true. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he's the faithful creator. In Isaiah 28, he's the only foundation. And in Jeremiah 3 and 17, he's the fountain of the living water of God. He is our fortress in the book of Psalms. And he is the fountain open for sin in the book of Zechariah. He is God in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6 and many other passages of Scripture. He is our guest in Luke chapter 19. He is our governor in Psalms 22. He is the governor of Israel in Matthew chapter 2. In Psalms 48, he is our guide. In Luke chapter 2, he is the glory of his people. In Luke 1, he is the highest. In Colossians 2, he's the head of all principalities and power. In Isaiah 54, he's the Holy One. In Ephesians chapter 5, he's the husband of the church. In Hebrews chapter 1, he's the heir of all things. In Hebrews chapter 3, he is our great high priest. In Colossians 1 and Ephesians 4, he's the head of the body. In Jeremiah chapter 1, he's the hope of Israel. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he is our hope. In Isaiah 32, he's our hiding place. In Psalm 71, he's our habitation. In Psalm 32, he's our house of defense. In Psalms 115, he's our help and our shield. In Ephesians chapter 1, he's the head over all things to the church. In Luke chapter 1, he is our horn of salvation. In Psalms 118, he is the head of the corner. In Colossians chapter 1, he's the image of the invisible God. And in 1 Timothy 6 and 1 Timothy 1, he is the invisible God. He is immortal. He is incorruptible. He is the great I am that I am. He is the interpreter. He is our intercessor. But I want to preach to you this morning that he is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. That's just through I, amen. That's not all the way through the alphabet. I want to preach this morning on the subject that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Our God, the God of this Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not a God of some distant star or planet. He is not a God that's across the sea somewhere. He is not a God that you got to go someplace. God doesn't just exist here in this building. In fact, sometimes I want to say it's the last place he is if we're not careful. I'm saying this, that he is not a God in some removed castle or some island or some fortress, but he is a God that is with his people. Now, I want to tell you something. I've discovered this in pastoring in my personal experience, that if you're not careful, one of the things Satan will feed your mind is that God is not with you. That he's not really there all the time in every situation of life. But God is with us. God is with those that are saved. If God is not a reality to you, it's not one of two things. Number one, you're not saved, or you have not appropriated the reality of God being with you. Think what it means for the saints. Think what it means for the saved people, for those that are redeemed, born again, God with us. God is omnipresent. The Bible teaches that. That means that he is everywhere at the same time, all the time. But when he takes this name, Emmanuel, to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in a special way to those who have been redeemed by God, that God is with you. That God is really and honestly, in a deeper and fuller and more personal sense, God is with you. God is with us in protection. Did you know that nothing can happen to you apart from the permission of God Almighty? That Satan cannot touch you, that there is no such things as accidents? That God is with you. God is with you in protection. God is with you in guidance. God is with you in comfort. God is with us in company. God is with us in provision. God is with us in health. God is with us in His strength. God is with us in courage. God is with us now, not just in heaven. But God is with me now. You listen to me. There's a time when nobody else can be with you, but God is with us. God is with us not just now, but God is with us forever. God is with you, was with you when you were convicted of sin. God was with you when you were converted to Christ. God was with you when you were saved and born again of the Spirit of God and made a new creature in Jesus Christ. May I say to you, God is with you in your life work. God is with you in your life work. What are you doing for a living? If you're a saved child of God, I'm telling you, God is with you in your life daily work. Don't think that you left God when you walked out those two double doors. God is with you when you go to your house. God is with you when you get in your car. Somebody said, oh, I took God with me today. I'm sorry, God's with you already, brother. You just finally figured that out. I'm saying this to you. A man told me one time, oh, I said, Reggie, I got saved. He said, I got backslid on God. And he said, I walked into a beer joint. And he said, I know God left me right there. That's not true. Let me tell you something. God's been a lot worse gutters than some beer joints you've been in. God's been with you people where you wouldn't want anybody else to know He is with you at. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God's not lying about it. God is with us in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us in every situation now and forever. I'm saying this to you. God was with Joseph. The Bible said that Joseph was sold by his brethren, shipped off down to Egypt. But the Bible said God was with him. Don't you ever forget it. God is with you. Don't you ever let Satan tell you, your carnal mind tell you that Christ, that God is not with you. He is with you. I'm telling you this morning, that may be a simple statement, but if you let God grab a hold of your heart with this, it'll do something for you the rest of your life. Moses, when he was sent to deliver the children of Israel, God was with him. Joshua, when he led the children of Israel in the land of Canaan, God was with him. Israel, God was with them. That pillar of cloud come before them, behind them, to protect them, to provide for them, to guide them and keep them. God has always been and always will be with His people. There is no point in you feeling lonely, for God is with you. There's no point in you feeling by yourself. God is with you. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit moping and murmuring and complaining, for God is with us, amen. And by the way, can I say to you, you have to take this by faith the same way that you take the virgin birth by faith. You just got to believe. You say, Reggie, do you always feel that God's with you? No. Sometimes I feel like the devil's calling around a lot more than God. But the fact remains that God is with me. Emmanuel. And when Christ came to this world, it was so that God should be with us. God has always been with us. God will be with you in your trials. The Hebrew children were tried. Do you know what the Bible said? When they put them in the fire, there was a fourth man in the fire, like in the Son of God. You listen to me. God will be with you in your fire. Have you suffered? Have you? Unless God will be with you in your testings. God will allow you to be tested, but He'll always be with you in your testing. God will be with you in your temptations. Joseph was tempted down there in Egypt, but God was with him. Even though you're tempted, God does not leave you in your temptation. Hey, can I say something to you? God will be with you in your chastisements. How many has experienced chastisement of the Lord? Can I say something to you? God didn't walk off out yonder and turn the devil loose on you. God was with you in the midst of your chastisements. God is with you in your sufferings. I've never had to suffer very much, but I've been around a lot of people who have. And I found out that God is with people, His people, in the midst of their sufferings. God is with us in our sickness. Went by to see Sister Hart this morning. Now I want to tell you something. This hadn't just been some little two-week deal. This hadn't been some little six-week or ten-week or three-month or five-month deal, folks. Day after day after day after day, fighting for every breath she can get. And yet walk in there this morning and all she can do is give glory to God. Let me tell you how she can is because God is with her. I'm saying that God is with you in your sickness and God is with you in service. Jesus said, I send you, he said, go into all the world. And he said, lo, what? I am with you. I am with you. I'm telling you this. The one thing I asked God for the night I surrendered to preach, I said, God, I'll surrender to preach, but you've got to be with me. And God has been with me now almost 30 years. God has never left me. God has not forsaken me. I'm sorry and low down and wicked and a rascal as I've been. God has always been with me. Sometimes when he's with me, he's whooping me when he's with me. Sometimes he is rebuking me when he's with me. But I'm saying God has been with me in service. I want to say something to you. God is with you in failure. How many of you fail God? Let me tell you about old Apostle Peter. He's one of my favorite men in the Bible. Because he's always blowing his mouth off about how much he loved God and served God and then failing. I'm glad that God never left Peter because he failed him. God has not left you because you failed him. Some of you let the devil beat you to death or some preacher beat you to death or you beat yourself to death over your failures. But God has never left you and God has not been without you just because you failed. If you had, then none of us would have God with us because we've all failed. Not only that, but God is with us in our ignorance. Amen? God's with you when you didn't know where Genesis or Revelation was, when you didn't know where the book of Psalm was or how to say it. God is with you when you didn't know how to pray. God's with you when you didn't understand. God's with you when you're confused. God's with you when you're bewildered. God is still with you when you say, God, I don't know what's going on. God's still with you. God's with you in your loneliness. Elijah run off down through there and got over there by the juniper tree alone. God, would you just take me out? I'm ready to go. God was still with him. God fixed him a little angel food cake down there and said, lay down and go to sleep a while and eat some cake. You're going to need it for the journey. God is with us in our loss. Old Job lost it all. But God is still with him. You see, the truth about it is, Job hadn't lost anything that was eternal. He didn't really lose his kids. Somebody said, whoa, a minute, I've caught an error in the Bible. The Bible said God gave Job twice as much as he had before. And he counted his kids up. Folks, he didn't lose them first set of kids. Amen? He didn't lose those first set of kids. That second 10 made 20. That's double what he had. God don't lie to nobody. God will be with you in your loss. Let me tell you something. I've suffered some loss. I ain't had anything very bad. But I've had some losses in life. But you know what? God's always been with me in my losses. Maybe you've lost your health. I hope you ain't lost your mind. But if you did, and you do, God's still with you. Hey, I've got a God big enough to when you're lost your mind and there you don't know what room you're headed to. Hey, God's still with you when you look at your kids and say, now who are you? Amen. I'm trying to tell you this morning, bless God, we got a God that's always with us. Amen. A God that is with us, Emmanuel, God with us, now and forever, amen. God with you when you don't know who, you don't even know who is with you. I'm saying this morning we need to understand what God gave us when he gave us his son, the Lord Jesus, to be with us. In loss, and God's with you in rejection. God's with you in confusion. Now you listen to me this morning. Just because you're saved don't mean you won't be confused sometimes. I know that Satan is the author of confusion. That don't mean you don't read the book once in a while. Truth be known this morning that most of you in this building are confused about some things. You wouldn't admit it. There's some things happened in your life, you're confused. You don't know why and why is this happening? God, I can't make sense of this. I'm confused. Now you let me give you a little spiritual secret this morning that God is always with you in your confusion. And when you can't figure it out, you just trust him. You just trust him. Listen to me this morning. The thing that'll take you through is remembering that God is with you. God is with you. God's with you in your disappointments. Some of your disappointments are going to be the stepping stones to the greatest days of your life. Some of your losses are going to be the doors that are going to open up that you would have never seen had not God done that. Let me tell you something. God is with you in sorrow. God doesn't leave you just because sorrows come over you like a wave of sea. Mr. Man that wrote It As Well With My Soul lost 4 daughters out there in the middle of the ocean. When sorrows like sea billows roll. I don't know if you've ever had sorrows come over you like a wave and you just thought it was going to take you down. But I'm going to tell you something. God's still with you. It does not matter what's going on. God is still with you. Let me say something to you. I'm figuring out. God is with you in aging. Amen. In fact, can I say something to you? God wants to get a little closer to you as you age. God wants to get a little sweeter to your heart as you get older. God wants to get a little sweeter in your spirit and get away from some of that old fleshly carnalness that kept you from being close to God all those years. God is with you in aging. And you remember this. God's going to be with you in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now you listen to me. I don't care whether you step through death's door in a car wreck or a heart attack or a slow death in cancer. He's always going to be with you. Amen. There'll never be, that nurse may walk out of the room and that doctor may walk out of the room. And I'm telling you something, your loved ones may hold your hand while it goes cold. But God will always be with you. Amen. God will be with you in death. I want to tell you something. I know that I don't believe God wastes grace on people. And I don't believe God gives dying grace till a person needs dying grace. But when we come to die, God is going to give us grace. But I want you to know something. That I hang my entire soul upon the promises of this book. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And brother, I'm telling you, there's going to come a second when I leave this old body and I'm going to be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. He is with me now, and there will never be a time, never be a time in that moment of death when God is not with me. I'm telling you something. What a wonderful thing we have today. No wonderful. Isaiah said His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful! A God that is not some stone sitting on a ledge somewhere. A God that is not sitting up on somebody's fireplace mantle. A God that's not on a crucifix on the side of a hospital wall. A God that's not sitting in some museum somewhere. But a God that's with us, amen. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever with us. I'm saying this morning, this Christmas time, I'm glad I've got a God that's with me. A God that'll be with you in judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and you're going to stand at judgment. But you know what? He's going to be with me. For He is my advocate. He is my mediator. When the devil steps up as the prosecuting attorney and says, Reg Kelly did this, and he had an attitude like this, and he thought this, and he said that, and he done that. Do you know what? The Lord Jesus just walks up, lifts His palms up, and shows His pierced hands, and shows His side. And He says, in my body, His sins are upon me. I was wounded for His transgressions. I was bruised for His iniquities. And upon me is the chest. And Lord, if it's punishment, it was punished in me. Amen. Now what else you got to say about Him? Amen. God will be with me in judgment. Amen. Amen. If you have Christ with you, you don't need to fear judgment. Amen. He'll be with me in heaven. Amen. With Him. He'll be with me in heaven. He'll be with me at the rapture. Out of here. Be with me in the rapture. He'll be with me at the resurrection. If I don't go out the way of the rapture, I'm going out the way of the resurrection, and He'll be with me. For I'm coming with Him. He'll be with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He'll be with us at His second coming. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him, whose name is Faithful and True, he said, Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I'm going to be with him when he comes. He's going to be with me. I'm going to be with, he's with me at the casting of Satan into the lake of fire. He's going to be with me in the kingdom for 1,000 years upon this earth. He's going to be with me in the new heaven and the new earth. And he's going to be with me forever with the Lord. The last sentence in the Bible, the last sentence in the Bible says this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know what? I got to thinking. It's no wonder. How many would like to see some walls of Jericho come down in America? Amen. Amen. I'd like to see the walls of abortion and the walls of the sodomites and all the walls of the atheistic, humanistic, godless God Christ. I'd like to see the walls. I'd like to see the walls come down on public schools. But you know why the walls ain't falling? Now you listen to me. God said that he'd be with them. You know what he told them to do? Now, I was reading this week, and I like to fell over backwards. I said, Lord, it's no wonder we're not seeing any Jerichos fall down. No wonder we're not walking in and taking victory. Because you know why? Now listen to me. Some of you sitting half asleep here, and you're doing your Christmas thing this morning. You ain't never going to see victory about nothing until you change your heart. Now you listen to me. You know what the Bible said they did? Now, you ain't on shouting ground all the time in your life. 6 days, one time a day. Remember, mush the bag. Remember that message, mush the bag? All right, grandma. But on the seventh day, in obedience, and Joshua told him, he said, all shout. Did you know something? There ain't no shouting going on in our churches. We're too cocky. We're too proud. We're too uppity. We're too arrogant. We're too intellectual. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen, they walked around them walls that seventh time, and Joshua said, shout! More shouting goes on stupid, idiotic ball games than church houses. We'll never see victory until God's people get obedient again and realize that God is with us. Hey, if God's with you, if God is for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you this morning, I just want to say this. In Ephesians chapter 2, though, it says something. We're going to go home. It says this in verse number 12. Listen to it. That they, talking about, said these people, they were without Christ and without, having no hope and without God in the world. You hear me? If you ain't got Christ, you're without. If Christ is not with you, you're without Christ. And if you're without Christ, you're without hope in this world. You don't have him. You don't have any hope. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is God with you today? I'm thankful. I'm grateful to be able to say God's with me. Amen. I want to ask you something this morning. Is God really? I want to be honest about this morning. Just be honest. Could you just be honest with your own soul? I want to tell you something. I'm not a candy man. You're here and you're either saved or lost. You're either going to heaven, you're going to hell. Nobody's up here trying to sweet talk you up to coming to an altar this morning. You know what you ought to do is realize that you're a wicked, lost, religious, as a billy goat, mean as hell itself, and you ought to get saved today. You're without Christ. Without Christ. And without Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope. You're without Christ. Let me tell you something. And in hell, you'll be without Christ. Call upon God, and God is not there. I'm telling you something. Listen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not with you if you're not saved. Are you saved today? How many know in this church house what my life's, the verse, if I sign my name, how many knows what the verse will be behind it? Isaiah 41:10. Listen to it. Fear not, for I am with thee. Now you listen to me. There's some of you out here in this congregation, God's put his hand on your life. God's called you to do something. You're fighting. You're struggling. You're struggling. And let me tell you what you need to realize. God's with you. When I surrendered to preach, I never will forget that night in my life. January the 24th. And I remember saying, God, if you'll go with me, I'll go. God, you've got to go with me. And I want some of you boys to know something here this morning. God will be with you. God will be with you. God will be with you. You just go. Just get on your horse and ride. God will go with you. You cannot go into this that Bible without looking the men of God that God called. God was with them. And what we need in America right now is some men who, honest to goodness, believe Emmanuel.
Amen.
That God is with me. Let me tell you why we don't witness. We don't believe God's with us.
Right.
Why do we not take a stand? We don't believe God's with us. Because if God is for us, if God is with us, folks, what else matters? In all honesty, what else matters if God is with us? We have the truth, and yet we're being run over in this country. Now, listen to me. I'm not beating on you. I'm not trying to knock you in the head. I'm trying to fire your spirit up. I'm trying to fire your soul up, that you don't have to be cowardice. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to charge hell with a squirt gun and go forward. Amen? I want to tell you something. Listen to me. America was built with people who realized God was with them. Covered wagons, but God was with them. No hospitals, but God was with them. Listen to me. Pray tell me, how in the world did the early Americans make it without Social Security? God was with them. We've got to get back in our nation to realize it is God that's with us and all that counts. I'm sick of the missionary movement. I am sick of it. We don't have 40-some people supporting us. We ain't got everything fixed just right. We can't go. If the Apostle Paul would have waited on that kind of nonsense, you wouldn't have a Bible. But God was with Paul. When they're going to realize, hey, go out and start a church, rent a store building, and get God with you. What are we waiting on? I tell you what we're waiting on is the day that the Holy Ghost of God bears the truth in our minds and hearts that God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the thing. I want you to listen to it. I read that verse. I turned to my Bible. I just didn't quote it to myself. I turned to my Bible again this morning and said this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." You know, you can read things very says, "I am with thee. I am with thee. I am with thee. I am with thee." Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to just shout, say, "Bless God Almighty. I don't know how I'm going to pay my taxes this year, but God's with us." Amen. "I don't know how I'm going to meet my bills, but God's with me." The day that happens, the wall of Jericho's going to come down for you. Hey, no wonder we have these. God must not be with them. There's no joy. Let me tell you, you know what makes me want to quit the ministry? Is the lack of joy and belief and faith and power in the lives of the people of who claim to be Christians. If it's Emmanuel, it's God with us. It doesn't matter whether the score's 40-16. God's with us. It doesn't matter that in the world's eyes we were defeated. It's God with us. In the world's eyes, Christ was defeated. But it's God with us. It always has been. My prayer is this. God, it's coming up New Year. God, if you ain't going with us, I don't want to go. But your word says you're with us. Now he said, listen, "I fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee." You see what's bad about memorizing the scripture? You just, boom. You don't think about what it's saying. You don't take it to heart. "I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee." Amen. So now this is my Christmas message to you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You know why? Because he's with you. Hey, you widows, tell the rest of this crowd. Miss Eichelberger, how do you make it? Don't tell me it's been wonderful kids' ears. God's with you. How you make it? God's with you. Dolores, how have you made it? God's with you. Oh, that God would teach us this morning that He is with us. That we would quit believing the lies of the devil. And by the way, can I say something else to you? That you won't sin near as much when you realize God's with you. Oh. You know why we sin? We forgot God's with us. Let's stand and go home. If you're here today, let's bow our heads. Look, if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. You're without hope. You're without God. If you're without Christ, I want to tell you something. My daddy used to say, you just well get a summer shirt on and a fan in your hand because you're headed to a hotter climate. But that's not funny. You'll scream in hell. And you'll want God to be with you, but you will be without God. Now I'm going to dismiss and turn this crowd loose in just right now in a few seconds. But here's what I'm telling you. You really want to get saved, nobody ought to have to twist your ear or beg you around or tell you every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to tell you something. You realize how hot hell is and how long it is and what trouble you and the wrath of God upon you. You'd jump up and down and say, Reggie, quit preaching. I need to get saved. And so what I'm going to do is turn this crowd loose. You want to get saved? I'm not telling you, instead of going toward the door, head toward the altar and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. I want God with me before I leave this building. Our Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you for this great day that you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God and who our Lord Jesus Christ is. Lord, thank you for Emmanuel, that God is with us. Lord, help us to never forget this. Lord, in the darkness of night, help us to ever believe the devil's lies. Oh, God, help us to know that you're God of the light. God, you're God every time, all the time, everywhere. Lord, when we're sick, help us to remember you're with us. As we're aging, help us to remember you're with us. When we're dying, help us to remember you're with us. As we're headed to judgment, help us remember you're with us. When we've lost everything, help us to remember you're with us. When it didn't turn out like we wanted to, help us to remember you're with us. God, when we don't know how, God, make us remember you're with us. And dear Lord Jesus, when we're tempted to sin, God, remind us that you're with us. Bless these people in Jesus' name, I pray. God, save somebody, Lord, that's a footstep from hell in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. I'll see you tonight. Anybody want to get saved? I'll be around the front here for just a little while.